Today's podcast is brought to you by the Eden Pure Fridge Air Purifier. Extend the life of your food and get rid of those bad odors for good. Go to EdenPureDeals.com and save $10 with code HOWIEFRESH.
She's the Boston Herald's wittiest wordsmith, the last woman standing at the Whiskey Priest. Once a very legitimate magazine that we definitely didn't make up, named her the Michael Jordan of radio. Wait, don't you think we're laying it on a little thick here, Grace?
Just stick to the script.
Oh, okay. Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, it's the Grace Curley Show.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Grace Curley Show. This is the last hour. We have a lot to get in here. I will say we're monitoring Joe Biden's latest speech. This is what I'm seeing on Twitter, and I haven't heard the sound yet, but it says RNC Research tweets out, Joe Biden, a career politician who has been in politics for 48 years, claims he used to drive an 18-wheeler. Joey, baby!
Hey, he took his jacket off. He rolled his sleeves up. He's got some serious lunch bucket Joeing to get to.
Amtrak Joe's 18-wheeler Joe. I'm telling you, though, the Bidens really are Renaissance men when you think about it. The things that they have on their LinkedIns would be, if they needed them, you know, to get jobs, they would be wild. The things that they would say. All right, joining us now, because, you know, it's the last hour. I'm ready to have a little bit of fun, and you know what that means. I'm bringing on the one and only Tom Shattuck. You guys can check out his Substack. Also, follow him on Twitter. Tom, is it at Tom Shattuck on Twitter?
Exactly. That is how to get me. Absolutely.
All right, perfect. Now, Tom, the first thing I want to start with, because this has been on my mind a lot today, but I was saving it for your interview, Simone Biles. Simone Biles withdrew from the Olympic competition ahead of the finals, and she cited mental health issues. And there seemed to be two reactions. And that's something I'm noticing in our country right now. You have to be a part of one reaction or a part of the other. And one reaction was people trying to make her out to be a hero for withdrawing. And then other people were trying to make her out to be a villain. You are one of the only people I saw, maybe you, Jerry Callahan, and Ben Shapiro, who feel similarly to how I feel, which is, it doesn't have to be either. She could just be a normal person who kind of reached her breaking point.
Right. Yeah. I don't know where this compulsion is, especially from these men, like flabby men who look like me, to say you're a weak sociopath. How dare get back up on the balance beam and do a triple Lindy for me again, you quitter. I've never seen so much rage. Not since people were like yelling at Bin Laden have I heard so much rage at a person who's already been the greatest in the world at what she did. What more do you need from Simone Biles, Clay Travis, or Charlie Kirk? It's weird. It's like, why are they going after her? Why are you mad? Why are these men so mad at her? She's the greatest that there ever was at being a gymnast. She's remarkable. She's talented. She doesn't hate her country. She's like somebody who should be looked up to. But she flamed out emotionally. Everybody does that. At some time, you've just had enough, and you got to walk away. And they're acting like she let them down.
Yeah, like she let them down personally. But Tom, another part of this that I saw, I've been reading a lot of the responses back and forth, and another part of this that I think is really important for people to remember is, one, of course, when it comes to mental health, we have only a fraction of an idea of what this woman has been through throughout her life. And it does, from what we know, it's tough. So let alone what we don't know, because you never know someone's story. But number two is, you mentioned the fact that they want her to get back up on the balance beam and like, don't quit. You know, you got to keep going when the pressure's tough. A lot of people who follow gymnastics said, if you don't think you're in the right state of mind and you try to, you know, tough it out, you could end up with a broken neck. This could be a really serious injury that comes out of you trying to be tough so Clay Travis doesn't make fun of you on his podcast.
Right. Exactly. No, but I guess, Grace, you know, tough guy Clay Travis and Charlie Kirk and Piers Morgan, you know, they would have done it in a second. They'd have no problem pulling off the triple sow cow, double black backflip, jump, whatever it is. I mean, they're so tough. Can you imagine? And they called her weak. Weak? This woman propels her body 26 feet in the air from a standing position, and they call her weak? You're right. Not only could she physically hurt herself, and I think she knows when she's got it and when she doesn't have it. More than anybody else knows. And also, she's never even had a childhood. You know, these Olympic people work night and day and night and day and night and day. The kid's only 24 years old. You know, she is trying to figure stuff out. And she's in a position, being the greatest at this ever, She's in a position where only three or four, maybe seven people in the world could possibly know how she feels and all the pressure she feels and what her day-to-day is like. Like, it, I can't believe it. These people are making me talk about the Olympics now, Grace.
I know.
To do in my life.
And honestly, Tom, then you add in the fact that COVID, her parents aren't there, you know, and it's not making up excuses. It's just giving a little context to it. But no, you're absolutely right. And for people who have no idea what this is like to jump on board. And I also just want to say, it's one thing to go, oh, you know, I don't really care about it, whatever. But that's not what's happening. Mm-hmm. People are really interested in bashing her right now for just knowing that she doesn't have it. And like you said, it is very mental. If you don't feel like you're there, a lot could go wrong, and she clearly doesn't. I'm blown away when I see these fake tough guys on the conservative side. And you know what the other part of it is, Tom? This is why I'm so glad I had you on, because I've been thinking about this for a while. I think that people feel like, especially these media personalities, that there's no room for compassion, or there's no room to take a beat and maybe consider, you know, somebody else's point of view. And that's just not the case. I tweeted this out and I get people responding, well, to be fair, it's a team sport. And she did walk away. It's like, okay, you can maybe win that argument, I guess. But what if this was like your sister, your daughter? Would you want people being this flippin' harsh to a 24-year-old who's clearly been through a lot?
No kidding. And right. I mean, you say been through a lot. Also had to deal with Larry Nassar, the monster who violated all these girls, and who apparently all the other girls took a bit of a breather from gymnastics for a while. She just kept on going afterwards. Yeah, no, it's crazy. And you got these pampered people who have really, you know, everybody, it's easy to be to do a podcast and this and that. These days, everybody's doing it. But guys like Charlie Kirk, he hasn't gone out and lived. He's been a showman. He's a promoter his whole life.
Well, Tom, I want to add in, and I'm sorry, I don't normally interrupt guests so much, but you're getting me all fired up. I want to add in about this because I think the same thing. It's like, yeah, I sit in front of a microphone, and I'm very lucky to be able to do that, but I don't confuse myself into thinking that, you know, I'm curing cancer when I come on the air. I mean, the fact is that we're all very lucky to be in media. And you know, Carol Markowitz calls it the pajama class. And she's talking about how now with these shutdowns, a lot of people in the pajama class aren't affected. But I do think it's important for people, including ourselves, to make note of the fact that, you know, we can judge all we want, but at the end of the day, we got a pretty cushy gig going.
Oh, totally. We have a cushy gig. Well, we've sat here never having to, you know, you'll catch our breath at all. Well, she goes and sacrifices herself for us every 4 years or whatever in the national championships every single year, and we're not satisfied. No, we need more. You owe us more. It's like it's very possible this year that Tom Brady's going to take the field, get hit, and say, I'm done. Sorry, guys. Are we going to yell at him? No, of course not. Oh, maybe people will. But what more do you want from the guy? He gave England, what, six rings? And it gave Tampa Bay their own ring. He gave you the best football for two decades you could ever want. Does he ever stop owing you?
No, well, right.
Yes, Tom Brady works for me. Simone Biles works for me, say these big conservative tough guys. And I'm embarrassed to be in the party.
I know. It's not a good look. And it also it pains all of us pretty bad. But on a flip side, Tom, I want to get your take on this. Greta Thunberg tweeted out yesterday, today I got my first COVID-19 vaccination dose. I'm extremely grateful and privileged to be able to live in a part of the world where I can already get vaccinated. The vaccine distribution around the world is extremely unequal. According to New York Times, 84% of shots that have gone into arms worldwide have been administered in high and upper middle income countries. And then she goes on to say that everyone should be offered the vaccine, which I agree that everyone should be offered the vaccine. But is it strange that she immediately goes from, I got my first dose of COVID, to, you know, some of the countries in this world are hoarding the vaccine and not allowing other countries to get it?
Yes, so we're going to have to deal with this little jerk yelling at us about something new now, so it's not just
how
climate.
Dare you?
Now there's inequities. It's crazy. I've been talking to a guy in Australia, and the government in Australia totally screwed up the vaccine distribution, so there's only 10% of Australians are vaccinated. And of course, they've been keeping these people underground. The people are starting to riot now. And they've screwed it up so bad that you're not allowed to go outside anymore unless you have five reasons. And the guy told me his five reasons. Like, other countries' ineptitude inept in are screwing this up as well. It's not a racist cabal, like, which is obviously the next thing that she wants to get to, because maybe the utility is running out of her climate grift.
Yeah, no, exactly. Climate change does seem to be getting a backseat lately, and I'm not okay with that. I feel bad. I think global warming sitting on the sideline going, what about us? What happened to us? Tom Shattuck, one last thing. I know you have small kids. What are you thinking about these mask mandates and, you know, the idea that in September you're going to be doing this all over again?
Mm-hmm. Well, my wife, when she found out, she sent me a message on Twitter, and I can't read what it says, but it was something about the school system can go something itself, and we will not be, we'll take our kids out of school again for the second year officially now. We are going to be homeschooling again because we will not do this. We will not needlessly torture the kids, even though the teachers aren't mandated to get vaccinations, by the way, but the kids now have to make sure the teachers don't get sick, even the teachers who won't make sure they won't get sick themselves. The unions feel no pain. Your children feel all the pain. Our kids feel all the pain. It's absolutely BS. To hell with these people. These people are wretched.
Yeah, and you're absolutely right. I have a story here, and I'm going to get to it. It's from Real Clear Investigations about how flight and teachers unions mask for the no mandatory vaccines for we. It is a huge double standard. Tom Shattuck, at Tom Shattuck on Twitter. You guys can check out his Substack. He's an excellent follow and always a fun interview. Thank you so much for coming on the show, sir.
Thanks so much, Grace.
Our friends at Eden Pure are launching a new refrigerator air purifier that is guaranteed to keep your food fresher for longer. So we've been keeping this quiet for a while, but we've actually had this product in our fridge for quite some time now, and it really works. If your food, you know, food gets wilty so quickly, Jared. It's always surprising me how fast food rots, and you spend so much money on it. But with this product, it keeps your food fresh for longer, and it also keeps your fridge smelling good.
Yes, and it's... anybody who's had a communal office fridge understands what happens when somebody leaves their food in there too long or something gets forgotten, which we're lucky at the Howie Carr Radio Network. We get so much great food with our VIPs that sometimes if we brought food, we, you know, I have that at home. I don't want to eat that. And it just stays in there. Well, if that happens, we don't have to worry about it anymore because we don't have to smell it for the next 3 weeks.
Yes, the Eden Pure Refrigerator Air Purifier has a rechargeable battery and goes right into your fridge to kill fungus, bacteria, and mold that rots your food. It's smaller than a soda can. It barely takes up any space, and you won't even know it's there except by how much longer your food lasts and how much better your fridge smells. And since it's battery powered, it can go into any small space to get rid of nasty odors. Put it in your closet, your cupboards, or your pantry to freshen them up and get rid of musty smells. I'm urging my listeners to get several of these Eden Pure refrigerator air purifiers. Right now, Eden Pure is offering $10 off the lowest sale price to my listeners this week. That's right, $10 off the lowest sale price with free shipping. Keep your food fresher for longer with Eden Pure. Go to EdenPureDeals.com and put in code word GRACE Fresh. That's EdenPureDeals.com, code word Grace Fresh. Hurry, these will sell out quickly, so don't delay. We will be back with more. I'm going to read you a little bit about these teachers and flight unions that are not requiring or mandating vaccines. And we also have a lot more sound to get to. And also a hot take from Max Boot. Yeah, it's not really a hot take, but you know, I had to say something. We'll be right back. This is the Grace Curley Show.
Follow Grace on Twitter at @G_Curley. Start the afternoon off right.
Now what? Here comes a girl. Here she is. This is just the best part of my day.
It's Grace Curley.
Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. I have to say something right now, Jared, and I'm a little disappointed in myself that it took me this long to mention it. I had the pleasure of going to Aviva Trattoria last night, the Aviva in Malden, for a 5-course wine dinner, and it was absolutely spectacular. Marcy, Chef Anthony, everybody there just did such a great job. It was really fun. I highly recommend the next time they do it that you get yourself there for these wine dinners. They're really amazing. Chef Anthony breaks down all the dishes, There's delicious cheese, bread, pasta, lobster, seafood, everything, and a massive pig that gets wheeled out. At one point, they said, "Now we're going to bring out the special guest." And I felt a little bit like John Kerry, because in my mind, I was like, "Me? Am I the special guest?" And then they said, "Agatha the pig." And I was like, "Okay, phew." But tiramisu, everything was just...
Can I get out of here, please?
I was like, "Oh, son, a menu." No, but everything was delicious, and I can't say enough nice things about it. So the next time they have one, I can tell you my parents are going to go, because that's how amazed I was by the whole thing. But you should definitely check it out, and check out Naviva. There's just a great place to eat, really delicious food. So I just wanted to throw that out there and thank everybody from Naviva last night for making it such a fun, spectacular night. All right, now, Jared's telling me that we have a lot of Joe Biden sound. And while I'm excited about that, I'm going to save it. And it's because I want to save it for the other side, because I have a Hunter Biden story that I can add on to it. And for right now, I think it would behoove us to go through the poll question. Today's poll question is brought to you by Exit Realty. With over 25 locations in New England, they have you covered. To learn more about their innovative technology that gets your house sold, go to exitrealty.com/New England. Jared, what is the poll question and what are the results thus far?
Who is the worst California politician? Dianne Feinstein, Gavin Newsom, Nancy Pelosi, Maxine Waters, Eric Swalwell, Kamala Harris, or Adam Schiff?
Yes, you added Adam Schiff.
And he is making up some ground.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. To be added to the race this late in the game, and then to really make headway is...
Hey, is that a head joke because his head is so huge on his pencil neck?
No. I leave those jokes to Donald Trump. That's pretty impressive. What's he polling at?
He is polling at 7%. It's only fourth place, but a late entry. Not bad.
Yeah, no, really, really not bad. Maybe we'll check in before the end of the show. And I just have to say, when you read off those politicians from California, and I know we're only scraping the surface, it really does make you wonder about what's happening there. I mean, obviously, California is not what it used to be, but sometimes in Massachusetts, like, we elect the same people over and over again, and I kind of feel like we get what we deserve. I mean, you elect Ed Markey after a certain point, you know what you're getting into. But California's even worse, and their state is struggling, and it amazes me that they just keep electing these people, and these people keep failing up. It's really bizarre. I'm going to pick Nancy Pelosi because she drives me insane how excited she is to put those masks back on and stomp around the Capitol in her fancy little shoes and talk about the science and Republicans and January 6th and Donald Trump. She drives me insane. I'm going to pick Nancy Pelosi.
Nancy's still in the lead at 49%. Maxine Waters in second place at 20%, 12% for Kamala Harris, Adam Schiff at 7%. Gavin Newsom and Eric Swalwell tied at 6%, just 1% for Dianne Feinstein.
844-500-4242. Yeah, DiFi, I mean, she's not great. She had the Chinese spy as a driver. I watched actually a murder documentary that was from like the 70s. And she was, I think at the time, governor of California. And she was messing things up even back then.
Yeah, that was like, the Night Stalker, Richard Ramirez.
Yeah, I was like, oh, a young DiFi messing things up, huh? But nowadays she looks...
Actually, back in the 70s, she would have been like upper middle age DiFi.
Yes. Yeah, I shouldn't say young DiFi. That's misinformation. No, but it is crazy because now you look at her compared to these other Democrats and you're like, whoo, she is the best out of that group. She's the most sane. And only because she's not completely insane. That's the only reason. We'll be right back. It's the Grace Curley Show.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria Studio.
Isn't it a shame? Trucking up the buffalo and thinking you got to mellow slow.
Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. Yeah, that's something I want to say here because I'm still learning my way through this. When people call up with vaccine stuff and side effects, I understand it's a conversation people are having, but these vaccines, for the most part, I mean, there's always going to be a percentage with vaccines where things don't work or things go wrong. But for the most part, these are very good vaccines. And I think for most people, this is the better option. especially if you have comorbidities. And I just always want to be clear about that, because I don't want to get into this thing where someone calls up and says, you know, you're anti-vax or you're anti-science or you're anti-medicine. I'm not. I'm actually considering getting one right now. I'm a little bit on the fence, depending on which one I get, but I'm considering getting one. And I think it's a great thing. I think it's Operation Warp Speed. I wish people would talk a little bit about how Trump was a big part of how we got this vaccine. But I just wanted to clear that up a little bit in case anyone's going, why'd she shut that down so quick? You just have to be careful. You don't want to be spreading stuff that's going to freak people out, especially when this is a medical marvel. And for most people, you can decide, like I always say, that's what Trump says too. It's a great thing. And, you know, encouraging people who want to get it, but if you don't want to get it, that is also your option. That's your choice. All right. Now, Joe Biden had an interesting comment today. He is a big fan of telling stories. And the way he describes himself, it's a little bit like Forrest Gump. He's everywhere at all times. He was at every major event in American history. And now we find out that he used to drive an 18-wheeler. Let's play it.
And anyway,
and if we don't
do drive an 18-wheeler, man.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
I wish.
Oh,
I
yeah.
That's awesome. I got to.
Remember when he drove that electric car and all of the train seals were like, oh my God. Oh my God. He pressed down on the gas. Good job, Joe. Awesome. You're going to get a big bowl of ice cream. That was awesome, Mr. President. Imagine if they saw him in an 18-wheeler driving it. They'd pass out. They'd get the vapors. They wouldn't know what to do with themselves. They would faint out of sheer admiration.
It was the dark of the moon on the 6th of June in a Kenworth pulling logs. Cab over Pete with a reefer on and a Jimmy hauling hogs. We is heading for Bear on I-10 about a mile out of Shaky Town. I says, Pigpen, this here's a rubber duck and I'm about to put the hammer down.
Anyway, and if we don't drive an 18-wheeler, man.
Yeah.
Oh,
awesome.
Well, the cool thing about the internet is that The cool thing about the internet is that you can keep track of things, and there's video and there's records that you can look at. And the second cool thing about Joe Biden is he's been a public figure or in office or, you know, a hack for 400 years. So we pretty much know where he was at all times for the last 400 years. And so this person.
We used to be, when I first got here as a U.S. senator, actually 3.5 decades ago.
Yeah, 3.5 decades ago. RNC research director and GOP deputy comms director Zach Parkinson wrote, there is zero evidence that Biden. I can't believe the stuff we even get to report on because it's so absurd. But Biden brings it up himself. He brings this stuff on himself. So Zach writes, there is zero evidence that Biden used to drive an 18-wheeler. The extent of Biden's trucking experience is that he rode in a truck once. For one night in 1973, he made sure to return home by plane, though. So now if you've ridden in a truck before, you can say that you used to drive an 18-wheeler. That is where we're at.
This is the craziest thing I've heard since I played center field for the Red Sox, Grace.
Tell us more about that, Jared. I'm not going to fact check you. and he also said, he said something else today, Jared, that you thought was worth playing.
We know Joe loves his automobiles, his horseless carriages, and he wanted to open the door, but much to Joe's chagrin, he could not.
Can I open the door?
We don't actually have the keys.
Unfortunately,
the keys.
It's locked.
Oh, man.
Sorry.
Come on, man.
Oh, this is getting sad. My scorn has turned to pity. He can't open the door.
His trucking skills are going to erode people. Come on.
So speaking of the Bidens, though, there's an interesting story about Hunter. Hunter Biden is renting. You guys might know him as the artist, Hunter Biden. Inside Hunter Biden's $20,000 a month Malibu home with art studio, 4 bedrooms, and ocean views. Hunter Biden is said to be renting his 4-bedroom home in Malibu for $20,000 per month. The 3,000 square foot home features an open floor plan with solid oak woods and 180 degree views of the Pacific. The 3-car garage was converted into a studio where Biden goes to paint every morning. Neighbors say the president's son keeps to himself, but note the property is crawling with Secret Service. Biden reportedly moved from his $5.4 million rental in Venice Beach because it lacked privacy. You know, it is really amazing, and we joke about Hunter all the time, but I know how crazy this drives regular Americans, that this guy is just untouchable. He can do whatever he wants, and now he's an artist, and his dad used to drive an 18-wheeler. And it's all good. It's all good. The other thing I had teased earlier that Howie actually asked me about, Max Boot. Max Boot had a hot take. So there's a story in the Wall Street Journal, Saudi Arabia to impose COVID-19 vaccine mandate. And there's been a lot of debate about mandating vaccines. Most people are very much against it because you understand where this stuff leads. You know, I don't even like the word mandate. I hear mandate and I go, not a good idea. But according to Max Boot, so he retweets this story about Saudi Arabia imposing COVID-19 mandates, COVID-19 vaccine mandates. And he says, this is serious. Words I never thought I'd write. Saudi Arabia is being more progressive than America. Saudis will need to show proof of vax to enter schools, shops, malls, restaurants, concerts, public transportation. But, so what we're gathering here is that Max Boot's definition of more progressive is mandating and basically making people show their papers to get into establishments. And that's what he considers to be more progressive. It's really insane. And then something else I wanted to mention here, just because I'm trying to get through all these stories before we bring on Howie, is I never thought I'd say this. I've always been a fan of celebrities. Well, I used to be. And then things changed once I got into politics. And you realize, you know, they're always dishing out advice and most of it's bad. But there are a few celebrities who have changed my mind recently. One of them being Kanye West. I'm a huge Kanye West fan. Can't wait for his new album. And there's some other free thinkers out there who kind of break through the mold and say what they actually think. One of them, this came as a surprise to me, is Camila Cabello. Am I saying this right? Camila Cabello. Thank you, Jared. I should know that. I'm 29 years old. Camila. I sound like Howie. This is like when Howie tried to say Bon Jovi and he kept saying Bon Jovi. And I know her songs too. Havana Unana. I like her music. Camila Cabello.
Yes.
She dates Shawn Mendes. I know all about her. I just can't say her name. Camila Cabello. So she made some comments about the protests in Cuba, and she summarized what's happening in Cuba better than most Democrats could. And it's really amazing. Cut 23.
A lot of people think the protests are about lack of COVID resources and medicine, which is really just the latest layer in a 62-year-old story of a communist regime and a dictatorship. 62 years Cuban people have been living under oppression.
And she went on to say in that clip that a lot of people are waiting in lines to get food, and the price of rice and beans is 10 times higher than most doctors in Cuba can afford. She talks about people coming over and crossing from Cuba to Florida, risking their lives, risking shark attacks. And I love to see this only because she has such young listeners and young fans. And I think it's really, really refreshing to hear someone be honest about what happens when you have an oppressive government and how we should all be aware of it. And we should all be honest about it. No one's talking about it. Do you notice that? When children and mamas were being separated at the border, at the southern border, that was the biggest story for weeks. Democrats were the most sympathetic, moral, decent people. And Trump was an absolute monster. And then now we have people fleeing persecution from Cuba and nothing to see here. And you understand why. It's because people who come from Cuba understand how bad their government is, and they probably won't vote the way that Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer and Adam Schiff and Kamala Harris and Joe Biden would like them to. In other words, they're not the right kind of migrants for the left. which is disgusting and despicable. But hey, what do you expect? And just one more update here. Do you remember Jenny Durkin? Jenny Durkin is a Seattle mayor, and she's changing her tune a little bit on police officers. So according to Fox News, the mayor of Seattle is calling on the city to rebuild its depleted police force after six separate shootings rocked Washington State's largest metropolitan area over the weekend. As a city, we cannot continue on this current trajectory of losing police officers. Now, what's interesting about this is we had Chris Bedford on yesterday, and he was talking specifically about Seattle and how at a lot of the overpasses, there's people, homeless people, drug addicts, who are throwing bricks and rocks over the overpass and just, you know, seeing if it's going to land on a car and maybe kill someone. It hasn't killed anyone yet, but as Chris mentioned in his column, it's a matter of time. And so listen to the mayor of Seattle, Jenny Durkin, cut 26.
But as a city, we cannot continue on this current trajectory of losing police officers like we have this year into the next years. Over the past 17 months, the Seattle Police Department has lost 250 police officers, which is the equivalent of over 300,000 service hours. We're on path to losing 300 officers. We are creating meaningful alternatives, but as I said last year, the city has an obligation to still continue constitutional policing and respond to 911 calls. Not unexpected, losing these number of officers, when city leaders talk about cutting a department by 50%, you will lose employees. Families need security. Workers, even police officers, need working conditions that support them. We cannot just cut. We need a plan, a comprehensive plan that addresses both prevention and intervention, but at the same time provides adequate number of police officers.
Wow. Seattle has been at the center of a nationwide debate over defunding the police departments that intensified following the death of George Floyd last summer. Durkin, a Democrat, clashed with the Seattle City Council last year on police funding and ultimately vetoed a resolution attempting to strip funding from law enforcement. The relationship between city officials and police in Seattle became tense last summer, highlighted by a situation where liberal protesters took over. You guys remember Chaz. At the time, Durkin angered many local residents and law enforcement officials by referring to the takeover as a block party and potential summer of love, declining to restore order and control back to law enforcement. So that's been a very, very sharp turnaround for Durkin. When we get back, we'll be talking to Howard Lawrence Carr. I also have a story from Jeopardy. I don't know if anyone watched Jeopardy last night, but okay, some of the VIPs might have. One of the contestants broke a record, but not for the reasons you'd hope. He broke a record. I'm kind of bummed I missed this episode. We'll talk about it with Howie on the other side. Don't go anywhere. It's the Grace Curley Show.
You can call her late for dinner. Just don't call her Gracie. It's the Grace Curley Show. Follow Grace on Twitter at @G_Curley.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Grace Curley Show. We've had a very busy day full of guests and breaking news. Howie, I don't know if you saw this. The Department of Justice declares that all vaccine mandates are legal. What do you think about this?
What about the, isn't there something called the Nuremberg Codes? I mean, or is that conspiracy theory to mention that? I thought that we passed something after World War II that was supposedly going to end all these kind of Dr. Mengele experiments. And again, I don't mean to sound like a conspiracy theorist, but it seems like there was a good reason to do something like that at the time.
I love how you keep saying that, because that was exactly what we were talking to Ben Weingarten about today. Nowadays, if you have any opinion that doesn't go with the flow of Chuck Todd or CNN, you have to be labeled a conspiracy theorist. Just disagreeing with people is, oh God, I hope they don't throw me in wrong think jail. But the reason that the left is so upset with the unvaccinated is because Biden thinks they're sowing enormous confusion, which, as someone who tries to break down Biden's words every day, Howie, you must have some strong feelings.
I'm pretty confused whether it's COVID-19 or COVID-9. And I'm concerned whether it's killed 159 Americans or 250 million, both of which numbers he said, and just about every number in between.
Sir, just go to vaccine.com and they'll
I prefer to go to to get my vaccine information. I prefer to go to vax.governor.
Governor. All right, let's go to Biden. Cut two, please, Jared.
Will you require all federal employees to get vaccinated?
That's under consideration right now, but if you're not vaccinated, you're not nearly as smart as I thought you were.
Are you concerned that the CDC's new max guidance could sow confusion?
We have a pandemic because of the unvaccinated, and they're sowing enormous confusion. And the more we learn about this virus and the Delta variation, the more we have to be worried and concerned. And then only one thing we know for sure, if those other 100 million people got vaccinated, we'd be in a very different world. So get vaccinated. If you haven't, you're not nearly as smart as I said you are. Thank you.
You know what? If Dr. Fauci hadn't given all that money to the Wuhan lab, we might be in a different world too.
Yeah, that's true. It's the butterfly effect. So many decisions affect so many things. But I love how he says we're not as smart as he thought we were. The smartest guy Joe knows, who is that?
That would be Hunter S. Biden.
Oh.
Artistmo.
Hunter, $20,000 a month for his Malibu pad.
I saw that.
Hunter Biden.
I saw that. Can we mention Max Boot, by the way?
Oh, please do, sir. I gave you the tweet so you'd read it.
Yeah, Max.
Howie's got some real anger towards Max Boot. I don't know what happened back in the day.
Max Boot, he was born in Moscow. And now he's complaining that the United States isn't as free as Saudi Arabia. You know, number one, why doesn't he move back to the land of his birth? Number two, if Saudi Arabia is such a great place and there's so much freedom and it's so progressive, I mean, you know, it's not like he was born here, you know? He wasn't born here.
You've gotten in trouble for this before.
He doesn't have to die here either, does he? He can move to Riyadh. I'm sure it's a wonderful place.
You've gotten in trouble for attacking Max Boot before, and I fear you're heading down that road where Jen Psaki's going to lock you up. By the way, Howie, can I just make one quick announcement? I thought this was interesting. Worst Jeopardy performance ever taints LeVar Burton's long-awaited guest debut. So LeVar Burton was hosting last night.
Yes.
And one of the guys, Patrick Pierce, recorded the lowest score in the program's history, ending Double Jeopardy with negative $7,400. Just a fun fact.
Well, into the record books for something, I guess. It's better than going in for nothing.
Half glass half full, Howie Carr. I like that. All right, Howie will be up next. Don't go anywhere. It's the Grace Curley Show.